Good morning.
It's good to see you all here today. My message this morning is entitled Political Ways Christians Mess Up. Now, last week I started my message off saying that lots of people claim to be following Jesus, and they do stuff like the things I'm about to talk about. And when they do, in my opinion, they get being Christian wrong. Nowadays, it seems like there is a whole lot of people saying that they're Christians and then acting in ways that's amazingly antithetical to actually following the teachings of Jesus. Now, what's amazing to me is that knowing what you should do if you are a Christian in any given circumstance is a lot easier than people seem to be making it out to be. It all comes down to one word. Love. And honestly, that's the theme of this whole series, love. If it doesn't come from a loving place, it doesn't match up with the teachings of Jesus. If the outcome doesn't express love, then it isn't Christian. Yet, we see almost daily in the news and in our day-to-day lives, folks who like to think of themselves as Christians, even ourselves, get this wrong over and over again. As a matter of fact, we do it so frequently that there's simply no way for me to cover all the ways it happens in the time that we have here together. And that's why I had decided to make it into a three-part series that's going to ultimately run through next Sunday's joint service. Now, truthfully, we won't actually be able to cover all the things that we Christians sometimes get wrong in these three Sundays. But, as I said last Sunday, I do think that we'll be able to make a pretty decent dent in it. Now, last week we talked about some spiritual type things that folks who claim to be following Christ frequently get wrong and almost equally frequently don't really care to express any remorse over it. Now, today we'll apply this same approach to things political. And then next Sunday, the final Sunday in this series, we'll address the issue in terms of the way we treat our LGBTQ friends. Now, after last Sunday, after that message, a few folks told me that they thought that I was probably being a little more political than I thought I might have been being. Now, the reality is that I was simply trying to take the teachings of Jesus and apply them to everyday life. I suppose that does make sense that it came off as a bit political because, you see, Jesus was pretty political himself. As a matter of fact, he was crucified because the Roman authorities of the day saw him as a real threat to the state, a threat to political order, and most importantly, a threat to those who were in power. Jesus didn't end up hanging from a tree for being non-political. In the first century Rome, in that empire, wandering spiritual teachers really posed no threat to the state unless they were being political. But the things that Jesus said and did were very much political, and the Roman government sentenced him to death because of his political activity. The primary governing body of Judah was actually made up of religious figures. The Sadducees, who were primarily wealthy conservatives, and the Pharisees, who were more like, sort of like what we think of as the business class. Now, even someone with a cursory familiarity with the Gospels knows that Jesus was constantly bumping heads with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. As I actually said several months back, every time that the Bible speaks of Sadducees and Pharisees approaching Jesus, you can almost hear an announcer saying, "Let's get ready to rumble!" It's laughable. It's laughable to say that Jesus wasn't political. Jesus confronted the very political structures and people who were twisting and using religion to step on those thought of as the least of these. You simply can't fully follow Jesus
if you aren't willing to be political and stick out your own neck, challenging the hypocritical power structures and leaders on behalf of the oppressed. Now, in the end, Jesus didn't really worry much about stepping on political toes. And the Bible insists that governments be just towards the least of these. The books of the prophet alone make that point really clear. And not only that, frequently, people who are most vocal about not making Jesus political are the same people who want prayer in schools and laws based on their own religious perspectives. And by a happy little circumstance, that brings me to my list of 10 political things Christians can get wrong. In no particular order, number 10, force your religious beliefs and practices on others. One of the strengths of the faith Jesus taught was in his meekness. The faith he taught valued free will over compulsion because that's how love works. Compelling people to follow any religion, more or less your own personal religion, stands over and against the way Jesus practiced faith. If you're using the government to compel people to practice your spiritual beliefs, you might be the reason that baby Jesus is crying. Now, admittedly, this can be a bit tricky. The irony here does not escape me. After all, I'm giving a talk about how your religious beliefs should impact your politics. Here's the thing, though. There is a difference, a big difference, in letting your beliefs inform your political choices and in letting your politics enforce your religion. Number 9, favor the rich over the poor. Favoring the rich over the poor is a slap in the face of Jesus, his life, and his teachings. In terms of the teachings of Jesus, it's bad enough when we allow the rich to take advantage of the poor. But when we create laws which do not only encourage that behavior, but also protect that behavior, well, let's just say it is crystal clear how ironic it is that we print "In God We Trust" on our money. Now, number 8 is actually a bit related to that last one. Number 8, limit the rights of a select group of people. Jesus loves everybody, but he loves me the best. Kind of sits the wrong way with you, doesn't it? Well, it should, and it should with good reason. If you spend any time reading the Bible, you know that it says that we were all made in God's image. Exactly which part of us is made in God's image is a little less clear. But what is clear is that we were equally made in the image of God. Equally made. Any law that doesn't treat people equally is as good as thumbing your nose at God. Number 7. Advocate for war. There's a reason why he was called the Prince of Peace. Sure, you can quote, "I did not come to bring peace but a sword," and even 2 or 3 other verses, but they don't hold a candle to the more than 50-some verses where Jesus speaks out about peace and peacemaking. It's funny how things keep coming back to love, but it needs to be said, it is way far away from loving a person to kill them. I guess there is a reason we say God is love. In the end, love wins. Number 6, cut funding that hurts the least of these. Now, to some degree, this is the inverse of another one that we'll be talking about, but favoring the rich is despicable. We Jesus minions should avoid it. Hurting the poor, well, this is something a whole lot worse than despicable. Any despicular or uber's despicular. Whatever you do, remember this. Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me." And he meant it. When you cut funding and it hurts people, According to Jesus, you're hurting him. And the truth is, no matter how much money you have, you should see it as hurting yourself as well. After all, just as MLK said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Number five, let people go hungry. Well, what do we have here? Is this an item from last week's list which I claim was not politically motivated? I guess you caught me on this one. Foiled again, but seriously though, of course it's on both lists. Of course it's on both lists. It is a spiritual issue and it is a political issue. Spiritually, as I said last week, Gandhi said there are people in the world so hungry that they can only see God in a piece of bread. Politically, hunger causes problems with education, production, and civil behavior, which are all necessary for a successful nation. More importantly, for Christians, Jesus said, when you're feeding the hungry, you are feeding him. So yes, this item is on both lists. And truthfully, without a bit of remorse, I'm going to repeat something from last week's list yet again. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. Number four, withhold health care from people. And this time, I'm not only repeating an item, I'm going to repeat a lot of what I said last week. Last week I asked you, did you ever play the game Follow the Leader? If you don't do what the leader says, you're out. What the leader does, you're out. Following means that you should imitate as closely as possible. When people who were sick needed care, Jesus gave it to them. If we're following Jesus, we will imitate him as closely as possible. No, the government can't repeat the miracles he did, but I've seen modern medicine do things that are about as close to miracles as I ever expect to get. Well, and while the government can't do miracles, it can supply modern medicine. Every year, 45,000 people die in the U.S. because of a lack of health care. We Christians like to talk about saving people. Well, I know of about 45,000 people who would love for us to do it. And we should. Because that's how love works. Number three, turn immigrants away. Christian heritage runs through Judaism. Hopefully that surprises no one. We are an immigrant people. Even our religion began somewhere else. Our spiritual ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, were told by God to pick up what they had and start traveling. Moses, Miriam, and Aaron led a nation out of Egypt into the desert and ultimately into new lands. Even Jesus, in his childhood, started off ultimately as a foreigner in a foreign land. As Exodus says, we know how it feels to be foreigners in a foreign land. If you don't think being foreigners in a foreign land is still our story, just go ask a Native American. At best, turning away immigrants makes us hypocrites. At worst, it makes us betrayers of our ancestors and of the God who led them. Number two, devalue education. See, we learn in Proverbs that wisdom is a thing that God delights in daily. And as a matter of fact, according to Proverbs, wisdom is better than gold. When you look at the percentage of our budget which goes to education and at what Congress and the Secretary of Education are doing, it's pretty clear that delighting in wisdom is something our government no longer does. But we should. It's the loving thing to do. And finally, number one, support capital punishment. Jesus died by execution. He was an innocent man. Every year, innocent people die by execution in our nation. It's time to be a shining city on a hill. It's time to express the fullness of love, to express the value of life. It's time to stop the government-sanctioned killing. And that concludes my list of things we Christians sometimes get wrong politically. And hopefully, obviously, here is the idea that what we should do is the opposite of all these things. We should be strong and loud advocates for political positions that come from a place of love and not from a place of power, marginalization, and biases. And speaking of marginalization and biases, I hope that you'll join us next week, also at 10 o'clock, for our final part in this series, anti-LGBTQ things Christians get wrong. Hopefully, I'll see you all then. Give you the opportunity to respond to our scripture reading or to the message or thoughts that occurred to you that you feel like are related that you want to share with your spiritual community. Are there those who have thoughts they would like to share? David.
David, I think we just need to give you a microphone.
Anyway, well, thank you, Mark. I think you are an equal opportunity stomper on toes. I think you've stomped on just about every governmental and set of toes that there is, and several times, and deservedly so. So thank you.
I appreciate that, David. Are there others?
Nancy, do you want a microphone too?
Thank you, I guess, for your message, Mark.
That's fair.
I read somewhere that Jimmy Carter said one time, and it's always stuck with me, that with two-thirds hungry and one-third rich, there will never be peace in the world.
Mm, that's a fantastic perspective.
I work for an agency that's Senior Resources of Guilford, and we help feed folks here in Greensboro through mobile meals.
Yeah.
And so this is, I guess, a shout-out or a plea or whatever. We were cut short by $47,000. We're a United Way agency, and we also get funds through state and federal and grants and donors. But the donors have really dropped off, and we've had a waiting list. We feed over 300-some people every day for 5 days through mobile meals, and we have volunteers that come out and deliver the meals. And so if anybody could think of ways to fundraise or help or just send a check. We had to drop, it was over 200 and some people on a waiting list. We had to stop the waiting list because we just couldn't do it. And so people have been laid off from our office. They've also gone from full-time to part-time. But this is some of you have maybe delivered mobile meals. Mm. But this has been going on for many years in Greensboro. But I was just sitting here thinking, if you can build a performing arts center in Greensboro and the millions of the people who gave that, and, of course, I know that will be great for Greensboro. But there are senior citizens in this city that are by themselves in apartments or little rooms and homes. There's a lot of them don't have any family. They have no way to go in their cars. And we also have volunteers that take them to the doctors if they need be. And some churches here in Greensboro do that. But I'm just saying, if you can send a donation for mobile meals, we would be grateful to feed a senior.
If you would send to the office the contact information and where to donate, I'll make sure that we get that into the next week's bulletin, newsletter as well. And that way people can have that information in front of them. Great. Thank you for bringing that up. Are there others?
Hi. My name is Chandra. I'm you. but I had an opinion about fear and love I wanted to share. Is it sometimes... I feel that love is everything, and I feel that fear is an illusion that sometimes it's like we use that in order to come to the realization that everything truly is love. And so it's sort of an interesting insight that I've had that I wanted to share, that I feel everything truly is love and God, but sometimes we're on that journey, but truly we're in God's arms.
Absolutely, thank you. Yeah, fear and love, very interesting relationship there. We have a down front.
Thank you. I'm Linda. I definitely need the microphone. I loved your talk.
Thanks,
and it gave us a lot to reflect on. And it started me thinking about the death of John McCain and how his bipartisanship over the years reflects some of the principles that we need to keep in mind for in our political atmosphere.
Yeah.
He led an exemplary life, and I think in death he is still working, because I think he's initiated a pause for us. Maybe it's only 24 hours, maybe it's only a few days, but I think it'll cause so many people to start thinking.
Hopefully it will.
I sincerely hope, pray that it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up, too. Are there any others?
I loved your talk, too. I am like a middle ground person. My parents raised me just kind of to sit in the middle and not really take a stand. It is so refreshing to be around a leader who stands for what is good and what is just, like you. Right. I just wanted to say that.
I appreciate that.
I love coming and hearing it over and over again.
Well, thank you.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That. Are there others?